This morning's gospel reading is from Luke, headed Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, starting at the 28th verse. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.'" Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that he had done, that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out."
Thank you so much, Jim. I'm going to read a portion of Psalm 118 in a few minutes, all about giving thanks and about coming to God. But I want to start with a little background on that story in Luke. It's Palm Sunday. Most of you have been through Palm Sunday before, so you know the story of Jesus riding a donkey into Jerusalem and the palm branches being laid down and the shouts of Hosanna, loud Hosanna, save now, things of that nature. But let's really think about what Jesus did, what this man did. He rode into Jerusalem, straight into a Roman garrison. There's a lot of soldiers there, soldiers who weren't really happy with him, and some of whom were ready to arrest him, and right into the capital of the temple with leaders who were very unhappy with him and had been planning and plotting his death, his murder, for a good year or so. And he was aware of this. His cousin, John the Baptist, had been put to death by the political powers just within the last few years. He knew all of this. He knew all of this. And yet he turned his face toward Jerusalem and he rode into town. His chosen transportation, a donkey, and as with everything with him, the Old Testament scripture spoke of a war horse as being that which would be chosen by a conquering warrior. And it was that which a lot of people expected, the Messiah to ride into Jerusalem on a war horse, and I believe the theological term is to kick butt. But a donkey is a humble beast, no good for war. It's good for peace. The donkey is ridden by someone whose intentions are peaceful and loving. And that was the beast of choice for Jesus. Lucky donkey. And he rode into Jerusalem. And he rode really to his death. Well, we all know the resurrection will come on Easter, but on Palm Sunday we're supposed to forget that we know about that just for a minute. And think about what he did. Imagine that. I mean, he had choices all the way along the line of what he would do. That day that he was baptized, I can just imagine him standing there by the edge of the Jordan watching his cousin doing baptisms. He could have turned around. He could have gone home. He was a carpenter. He had a trade. He could have settled down with a lovely woman, had children, had a wonderful, quiet life. But he stepped forward and was baptized. And the voice of God spoke. We studied the wedding feast at Cana in Sunday school last week. His mom came over and told him to perform that, his first miracle. He said, "Woman, my time has not yet come." And she, being a good mother, turned around and said, "Do whatever he tells you." Not taking no for an answer for a moment. And so his ministry began. He picked up his disciples. He walked all over Israel. He healed people. Ordinary people. Ordinary miracles. He's an everyday Savior. You know, you think of miracles that we see sometimes where people make a big splashy show of things. Say, "Baby!" and slap someone on the head and work in front of the TV cameras. But look at Jesus and how he would quietly go into someone's room and restore them. He would feel someone touch his garment and turn around and empower her. He would give someone who couldn't see eyesight and then tell them to tell no one about it, as if that's humanly possible. He performed miracle upon miracle personally and for each individual who needed one. And all the time he spoke of what was really needed and what was really important was to be gentle with each other, to follow the ways of God, to not make a big show of religion, but to be faithful to God and to each other. Simple message, but simple is not always easy. And it's not always easy to hear someone say, "You're doing it wrong." And so he marched into Jerusalem. Sauntered in on a donkey, paraded in with his disciples, and people were rejoicing and shouting. And when the authorities, the power that be, told Jesus to shut them up, what did he say? Well, if these people weren't speaking, the rocks and trees themselves, the very earth would shout out in joy. Because joy is the state we're built for. Joy is what God built us to express, experience, and share. It's natural for us, or it should be. It's the way God made us. Psalm 118. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. We beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the second in our three-part series on prayer, based on a book by Anne Lamott, Help, Thanks, Wow. We're on thanks today. Easter Sunday will be wow, go figure. A grateful heart. That was something Jesus could work with. A grateful heart. And so it is that one of the best things we can do for our spirit, our soul, and our relationship with God is to say thank you. No matter how much we're hurting and suffering, no matter how difficult our life is, or how blessed we are, how busy we are, to stop and say thank you is a blessed thing. I've got a million things to say thank you for. This morning I'm thinking of teams. The musical at Honeoye Falls, Seussical, was brilliant. Saw it last night, saw a couple of my dear little friends. They aren't so little anymore. And It was marvelous to see a team come together that well. And sure enough, after it was over, many of them were crying because they were sad it was over. The team out here on the playground yesterday, the scout team that Keenan Whitmore put together, and to see them working and to see how everyone turned to Keenan for leadership. It was his project. And I've known Keenan since he was a squirt, smaller than Caden is now. And here he was, leading the charge, doing something he picked out as his Eagle Scout project to help the church and to remember his dear friend, David Good, and also the church's dear friend, Sylvia Ryan. And he put together this marvelous team. It was wonderful. The team of people here and the things we do, a marvelous thing as well. So, my thanksgiving right now, my rejoicing, is over what we do when we put our minds and our hands and our hearts together and work as one. The things we accomplish are splendid, extraordinary. Now, just like last week, when I asked people to share their favorite scripture, today I'd like to ask you to share your favorite joy. If there's someone out there with a joy that they'd like to share, think about it for a moment. Yes? Rejoice. Everyone say, rejoice.
Rejoice.
For your aunt, 96 years old. Anyone else? Okay, down the line.
The amazingly generous ladies that are members of Curves of Honeyland raised 2,626 pounds of food in 3 weeks for the Honeyland Food Shelter.
Wow. Yeah. Rejoice for the generous ladies of Curves. Rejoice. They're good looking too. Bonnie?
For the joy of seeing our granddaughter and Susan.
Yes.
The older grandma. The kids were phenomenal.
They were.
I mean, they were like professional. Puts off me to shame.
Rejoice for Jessica Cindy Lou Who Knight. Rejoice. Ron?
The great job that the Boy Scouts do in building values in young people.
Very true. Rejoice for the Boy Scouts and the job they do. Rejoice. Others? I see you back there, Margaret.
I know many of you. I'm Margaret Tiffany. I was a strap. That's always how I introduce myself. Thank you.
You get what you give, my friend. Rejoice in our friend Margaret and the work of our hearts. Rejoice. Yes, Gloria.
For family and friends.
For family and friends, especially when times are toughest. Rejoice for family and friends in good times and hard. Rejoice. Yes, Lori. Fantastic. Rejoice for our friends Joey and Lori and their idiot pastor. Rejoice. Yes, sir.
We are really going to rejoice in 2 months because we're going to have a granddaughter.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Rejoice for new life. Rejoice. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. Yes, Janine. Wow.
All his descendants, the multiple generations, and there will be about 45 Thomases there today. All his 50
Thomases.
To get together and see each other and appreciate all the descendants from Rainbow Thomas.
Should we come on over if we want to, or just wait and read about it in the police blotter? Or?
Yeah.
And especially because the Thomas family has lost some of their own this year, and rejoice in family gatherings. Rejoice. Any others?
Okay.
Okay.
You look back in that corner back there, there's a pretty large representation of my family and Patty's family. We have 16 grandchildren. I know many of you have grandchildren, many of you have children, and they, I hope, are the light of your life, and those grandkids are the light of our lives.
Very good. Rejoice in family, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and our ongoing progeny. Rejoice. You know, it would be a good thing, a good practice in this Holy Week, a week where we shift into real time and we see the very real sacrifices that Jesus made for each and every one of us. That Jesus made for all of the world. And if you think that's exaggerating, think about the billions of people following Jesus to the best of their ability throughout this world. Jesus changed the world with the decision he made to ride into Jerusalem. And for this week, I think a great thing to sacrifice would be every night, or if you're on the night shift, every morning before you go to bed, or every morning when you wake up, or every night when you wake up if you're on the night shift. At some point at the beginning or the end of your day, or perhaps somewhere in the middle, I ask you to make a gratitude list every single day. Think of, write down, type in, carve on a tree, those things you're grateful for that day. The simple, the incredible. We are built for joy. And God loves it when we say thank you. Thank you. Amen.